Good evening, Zimbabwe. It's 17 hours, 20 UTC, 7:20 p.m. in Zimbabwe on Sunday, February 1st, 2015. You're listening to Studio 7 Live from the Voice of America in Washington. Thank you for joining us this Sunday evening. Live from Washington, I'm Marvelous Mhlanga Nyahuye. And amongst our top stories this evening, the Grain Millers Association writes to Industry and Commerce Minister Michael Bima appealing the proposed acquisition of Blue Ribbons Industry by a Tanzanian company, saying it violates the country's indigenization drive.
The Grain Millers Association of Zimbabwe objects to the proposed acquisition of Blue Ribbon for the following reasons. Firstly, Blue Ribbon is a national asset that is charged with responsibility to manufacture staple food.
Local fertilizer manufacturer ZFC Limited laments the low uptake of its product this farming season and urges farmers to be cognizant.
Normally our seasons kick off around the last week of October. Now this year we moved on to the earliest meaningful rainfall were mid-December. Now if you look at that, that shows a very big shift, and we believe this is coming from the effect of climate change.
The head of TB and HIV/AIDS in the Ministry of Health, Dr. Owen Mugurungi, urges the public to continue going for early TB screening to avoid complications.
The common symptoms for TB is a chronic cough, and when it's a chronic cough, it's a cough that is ongoing for more than 2 to 3 weeks.
And as usual, we have the Youth Forum with Tatenda Gumbo. The Grain Millers Association has written to Industry and Commerce Minister Michael Bima appealing the proposed acquisition of Blue Ribbons Industries by a Tanzanian company, saying it violates the country's indigenization drive. Grain Millers Association of Zimbabwe Chairman Tafazwa Musarara speaks to Jonga Kandemiri on the issue.
The Grain Millers Association of Zimbabwe objects to the proposed acquisition of Blue Ribbon for the following reasons. Firstly, Blue Ribbon is a national asset that is charged with responsibility to manufacture staple food. In fact, it is the second biggest milling company in Zimbabwe and one of the top 20 in Africa. So its importance and significance to national food security cannot be overemphasized. So we believe that its current shareholding of 84% is a correct move. In fact, out of all the big three companies, that is the most indigenized company. Whether indigenization or not, no government in this world, really worth its salt, would want to have foreigners have control of the critical sectors of the economy. We are talking of whether it's fuel, health, and the staple food manufacturing. So you go to Europe, you rarely find foreigners owning those certain sensitive sectors. They are very important. They can be easily manipulated to cause a political situation. They have got a very immediate direct impact on the national security. So those companies like that deserve to be bailed out by government. We felt that there are a number of interventions that can be made, more so as it is under judicial management. One of them, of course, is the conversion of debt into equity. That is very key for creditors now to take a more active role, control the company for some time, inject more funds, and then hand it over to the shareholders. We feel that the Bakresa deal is the best deal or the only deal. We don't want it. Can't have our staple food processing company controlled in other lands.
At what stage is this Bakresa deal? Do you think it's reversible?
Yes, it is reversible because it's awaiting regulatory approval, which has been referred to cabinet, and we understand that it is currently under consideration cabinet. But we thank God that we now have one party in government, and therefore there won't be any misgivings about it or different opinions. The ZANPF Congress was very clear on the acceleration of indigenization and beneficiation.
What if the company is sold to black indigenous people or business people? Are you ready to let it go?
We have no problem. Who owns it as long as it's a black Zimbabwe? Ultimately, it's the government's call. If they decide to give it to a foreigner, but at least we have registered our feelings about it.
That was the Grain Millers Association of Zimbabwe Chairman Tafadzwa Musarara speaking to Studio 7's Jonga Kandemiri. Local fertilizer manufacturer ZFC Limited laments the low uptake of its product this farming season, citing the drop in the purchasing power of farmers as being one of the major reasons for the slump. ZFC President Wanda Chabika is urging farmers to be cognizant of the effects of climate change that are now affecting this year's farming season. ZFC President Wanda Chabika tells us more.
It's a thing that we've talked about for quite some time now, and I think we have not taken it very seriously. And when it is actually settled and it's making things very difficult. This is a result of climate change. Our seasons are no longer predictable. Normally, our seasons kick off around the last week of October. Now, this year, we moved on to the earliest meaningful rainfall were mid-December. Now, if you look at that, that shows a very big shift, and we believe this is coming from the effect of climate change. And if we don't do anything about it, we are going to find ourselves, to find our production diminishing every year to very critical levels. The only solution to this thing is to have a climate change adaptation. And the only way we can do so is to have irrigation in place. We can now only rely on irrigation. When the season is late, you irrigate. When it rains, it's okay. When it doesn't rain, you irrigate. So climate change is going to negatively affect productivity in this country.
What about those that planted late or are still mulling whether to plant any crops this season? What crops would you advise them to plant and when?
Yeah, you see, when a farmer plans to say this season I want to do such a level of production, and if you look at the late start to the season, one would want to think that the season will extend further than normal. But my advice is we don't necessarily are going to have an extended rainfall season. So our advice earlier was let's plant short season maize varieties and or small grains, your sorghums, your millets, your rapoko, and your pear millets, because we are looking at a shorter season here. And the advice was let's do it by mid-January. And generally, again, what we've then faced from 2nd to 3rd of January up to now, most the bulk of the areas have not received a single drop of rainfall, even though they had planted up to 15th. So that has made other farmers to say, let me carry on planting because they are keen to plant. But if they want to plant, I'm saying it's getting very late. But if you still want to plant, let's now go for our small grains. I think now the age will be for food security, for consumption. Let's now go for our small grains, which take shorter to reach maturity.
That was ZFC President Wanda Chabika in Harare. The head of TB and HIV/AIDS in the Health Ministry, Dr. Owen Mugurungi, urges the public to continue going for early TB screening to avoid complications. Dr. Mugurungi tells us more on what symptoms TB patients can look out for.
The common symptoms for TB is a chronic cough, and when it's a chronic cough, it's a cough that is ongoing for more than 2 to 3 weeks. Normally, not responding to antibiotics, cough mixtures, or any remedies that the patient has. So that's the first. Second symptom is that these patients who either have sweats, normally it's night, what we call night sweats, and these are drenching sweats, really in which a patient can wet the pillow or the sheet or the blanket, and also loss of weight, headaches, general weakness, and patients would probably not be able to eat or do their normal duties. But the major one, as I said, is loss of weight, night sweat, and that chronic cough that goes on for more than 3 weeks.
And what about the caretakers? What would you advise them to do, those that are looking after people that have been diagnosed with tuberculosis?
Well, my message for people taking care of patients or clients with TB is that, first and foremost, we know that TB is transmitted through droplet infection, which means if somebody is infected, coughs, and those TB bacilli goes into the air, there's a risk of people who breathe in that air getting TB. But I must stress that if you're taking care of somebody with TB, once that patient has been on treatment for 72 hours or 3 days, they no longer become infectious, which means that when you look at the infection, the risk of infection, the person who is infected but has not been detected and does not know that they have TB and are not on treatment are more dangerous than a person who is on treatment, who has been detected and is taking their drugs. So what I will say is that caregivers should encourage the person with TB to do what we call cough etiquette, which is when you cough, you should be able to at least close your mouth with a handkerchief or your hand, etc. But also encourage this person to take their medication so that within that shortest period of time, they are no longer infectious. But however, of course, we know that for complete cure, these patients have to continue treatment for the 6 months that they are supposed to take the drug.
That was the head of TB and HIV/AIDS in the Health Ministry, Dr. Owen Mugurungi in Harare. This is Studio 7 from the Voice of America in Washington. We're going out to you on the 4930, 4940 and 15455 shortwave frequencies and on the 909 medium wave or AM frequency. And now we go to the Youth Forum with Tatenda Gumbo.
You are now listening to the Youth Forum, your forum focusing on your issues today. I'm gladly joined by Mishek Gondo, who is the director of the National Association of Youth Organizations. Mishek, thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you very much.
What are some of the key things that you are seeing that are happening for young people within the country that, of course, should be dealt with immediately?
Yeah, one of the fundamental things that needs to be tackled is the issue of definitely youth unemployment. Looking at the current situation that we have in Zimbabwe, where young people are finishing their colleges, they are finishing their school, but the opportunities that are available for them to work, there's no adequate opportunities for them to work.
What kind of programming are you partaking in order to capacitate young people within your organization?
One of the programs that we are doing is this issue of entrepreneurship program, whereby we are capacitating young people to be able to respond to these economic issues that I was alluding to. In this program, the issue of capacity building, whereby we train young people, give them skills so that they will respond to various challenges. And also they will be able to start income-generating projects. As you know that in Zimbabwe, there are some opportunities whereby young people can be able to do things for themselves, market their products, and in agriculture, we also in agro-based economy, whereby young people need to be capacitated to take farming as a business. For example, I can give an example of a one solid program where we are doing with young farmers, whereby they are given skills and also they are oriented to take farming as a business.
How is the landscape shifting in that respect? You're talking about young people who are able to start doing money-making projects. Are people now not focused on maybe the conventional careers, that is going to university or college to be, let's say, a doctor, maybe a lawyer? Are they now embarking on programs that will help them cultivate these money-making projects?
I think this issue can look at as take a coin status, whereby in terms of our education, young people, those who have got opportunities, they are taking the career of taking those entrepreneurship skills so that they can sustain for their education. Remember, in Zimbabwe right now, education is the privilege of the elite. It's too exorbitant. And the young people are not able to cater for this education unless maybe you are supported and those mechanisms that were there to support young people that are learning. So the only opportunities that is there for young people is to take the entrepreneurship route to sustain for themselves, but at the same time, furthering their education.
Some people would think that looking at the economic conditions in Zimbabwe, that young people would say, okay, I'm not really worried about going to school. I'd rather just find a way to make money. But a lot of Zimbabwean people still maintain that education as number one. Why is that the case?
That's the thing also that we have as an organization whereby we are educating young people to say that first of all, they have to focus on their education and education provides opportunities for them. And apart from this economy being a difficult economy that we are facing, it's just a phase that is going to end. And young people still need to be reminded of taking their education seriously and also pursuing other technical directions.
And how much has that move for some people to go to technical colleges, how has it assisted them in making do?
Yeah, that is another option. But what I was saying, that even for those technical colleges, again, if you find the charges that are being charged by the government, they are still exorbitant. But it's another option whereby young people, they can be trained in technical colleges, vocational training centers, for example, in Zimbabwe. But those vocational training centers, again, they need to be resuscitated so that young people, without having the opportunity to go to universities, they can be trained in various like motor mechanics, dressmaking, so that they will be able to take care of themselves.
What's your message to those who might be saying to themselves, I'm not sure what I can do next, who might be feeling stuck?
My message to the young people in Zimbabwe is, yes, currently we are facing challenges that we are facing, but as a people together, as young people, we need to be determined. Only way forward is to move forward. And if we are not going to take action as young people, if we are not going to transform ourselves as young people, no one will.
Amishek, I want to thank you so much for joining me today on the Youth Forum.
Thank you very much.
That was Mishek Gondo, Director of the National Association of Youth Organizations, speaking with me today on the Youth Forum. This is Tatenda Gumbo. Make sure you join me next week.
Thank you, Tatenda Gumbo. This is Studio 7 for Zimbabwe, coming to you live from the Voice of America in Washington. Mai, to be candy for Kanganwe. Mai, Minamato Yenu Yote Musati Kanganwe. To be Wanangu, to be candy for Kanganwe. Ah, 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 Kanganwa, my Nara, Ba, 9 months, Ivakanisha, Ba, Kudumba, Zizemta, Ba, Yangweni Kanzinda, Ba, Maivano Zira, Ba, Wangwana, Daro, and Dishuvira Zakanda. Now to recap on today's top stories. The Grain Millers Association writes to the Industry and Commerce Minister, Michael Bima, appealing the proposed acquisition of Blue Ribbons Industry by a Tanzanian company, saying it violates the country's indigenization drive. Local fertilizer manufacturer ZFC Limited laments the low uptake of its product this farming season and urges farmers to be cognizant of the effects of climate change by planting short-term variety crops. That's the news in English from Studio 7 this Sunday evening, February 1st, 2015. Stand by for Studio 7 in Ndebele. This is Marvelous Mhlanga Nyahuye in Washington, wishing you a pleasant evening and a very good night.